Daniel chapter 2, we're going to see how Daniel trusted in the Lord in a time of crisis and saw him through, as well as the other three that were with him. All right, so look at Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to start off with just the first 13 verses tonight. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. You ever been there? Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Pray with me. Father, I pray your blessings upon the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. Help me as I expound this story and the lessons that we can draw from it. Lord, help us to be men and women of character like Daniel. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of my message tonight is Character in a Time of Crisis. There was indeed a crisis in Babylon. The king had actually several dreams, but one dream in particular disturbed him greatly. And he wanted to know what the dream meant. And he insisted that his experts tell him the dream as well as the interpretation, or they would all be killed. And of course, this would mean that Daniel and his friends would be killed as well, because they were among the wise men in training there in Babylon. And so, in such a time of crisis, on the stage, so to speak, steps Daniel. And what a contrast between Daniel and all the wise men of the kingdom. God is going to use this man to reveal to the king, and we'll get into this next message, what God is going to do in the future all the way until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so this is a story of God revealing to the king and to Daniel a great message regarding the future. And what we have here is, again, character in a time of crisis. Now, we're all aware that we have been going through a crisis ever since last March. The coronavirus has spread all throughout the world, and it is indeed a highly contagious virus. And a lot of folks have died as a result of this virus. Another result of this virus is the economic impact. There was the economy has been hurt. Small businesses have been hurt. Also, there has been a strengthening of government and big business, and small, in contrast with small business, and big business and big tech has been flaunting their strength through this crisis. And there's been racial and political division, unlike we have seen in some time now. And so the question for us is, as we've been going through this crisis, how have you been in this crisis? Has your Christian character enabled you to face the crisis with confident faith in God, with calm courage? Or have you faced the crisis with fear and worry? Well, Daniel exemplifies for us in this text of Scripture how a godly Christian character can sustain you in a time of crisis, and how God can use men and women of uncompromising courage and conviction in a time of crisis. And so I want to pick up with a story once again. And the scene opens up with a troubling dream. The king, who has only been on the throne a year or so, has a troubling dream. In verse 1, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, note the plural, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. And so he had a dream, and we know from this chapter that God was the one that gave him the dream. God was the one that gave him the interpretation through Daniel. And so God was working in this pagan king. Now, why did God give him this dream? Well, it's going to give Daniel the opportunity to witness of his God and so forth. But, you know, in verse 29 it says, "As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be." Now the king had been on the throne just a short time. Cataclysmic world events had taken place recently. The Babylonians had conquered the powerful Assyrian kingdom. Egypt had diminished in power. Israel had, the southern kingdom had been conquered by the Babylonians and some forced into captivity as they became a subject nation. And no doubt the king was wondering, well, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kingdom? And so God revealed to the king something that he was certainly interested in. And you know, as you read the Old Testament, God sometimes would reveal through dreams. God gave a dream to Jacob. God gave a dream to Joseph, significant dreams. God gave dreams to Abimelech. God gave dreams to others as well, like Pharaoh and Solomon. And so sometimes God would reveal dreams. Now, based on a mistranslation, what I think is in the King James of verse 5, you might get the impression that the king did not remember any of his dream. But verse 5 actually says not that the dream has left him, but that his decision is gone forth. It's firm. It's determined. And so I think the king remembered at least some of the dream, but he perhaps couldn't remember all the dream, and he was certainly concerned about the interpretation of the dream. And so we read about the description of the dream, and then we read about the desire of the king to understand the dream. So what did he do? Well, in verse 2, he summoned his servants, the experts. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. And so they stood before the king. He called the brain trust of Babylon together to help him to understand the dream and the meaning of the dream. He turned to the experts. And you know, government officials still do that today, don't they? They turn to the experts in a time of crisis. You know, let's bring in Dr. Fauci and let him advise us on what we should do. Let's consult the World Health Organization, who's in the pocket of China. You know, let's consult the experts and see what we should do. That's been going on for a long time. And notice who he called. He called the magicians. Now, these were not the sleight of hand magicians we may think of, but they were the ones that were the fortune tellers and the scholars of the day. He called the astrologers, and the astrologers then are very similar to astrologers today because it's rooted in ancient Babylon. And so he called the astrologers who studied the heavenly bodies and made prognostications and so forth. He also called, as we see there, the sorcerers. These were the ones that worked with potions and so forth and charms, and it included mediums who sought to consult with the dead. And then he called the Chaldeans. That was the highest rank of experts, the PhDs of Babylonian society. Surely they could help him. All of these varied experts surely would help him. And so he turned to them just like people turn to them today. People are still consulting their horoscope, consulting the astrologers, consulting the people who can read crystal balls and things like that, the palmist. They're all over the place, and people still consult these people today, which, by the way, I don't think Christians have any business doing. And he presented his problem to them in verse 3. The king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream," or to understand the dream. Well, you know, these were the experts in interpreting dreams. And so notice what they said in verse 4. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Long live the king. You know, tell your servants the dream and we will give you the interpretation." And again, they stated their confidence in verse 7. "Just tell us the dream and we will give you the interpretation." Well, these experts were well-versed in interpreting dreams. They had dream manuals that they could pull from the library shelves of there in Babylon. And these dream manuals, you know, they could input the data and based on the dream manuals come up with interpretations. Ah, but the king kind of threw a wrench in their expectations. Verse 5 and 6, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a ash heap or garbage heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." Boy, what a choice he puts before them. "You tell me the dream and its interpretation, and you will have rewards, you will have honor. But if you don't, I'm going to cut you into pieces, and then your family won't even have a house to live in because it's going to be destroyed and left as an ash heap. Can't you just imagine the wise guys saying, how about a third option? You know, can we have a third option here? You know, they knew that they were in a dilemma. Now, folks, the king illustrates what happens when you have a head of government with absolute power. I mean, he was making humanly unreasonable demands upon these men, but he had the power to do it. If he ordered their execution, that's exactly what would have happened. And yet, you understand why the king only gave them those two choices in verses 8 and 9. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. I know what you're up to. You just are thinking that this whole thing will just blow over if I'll give you some time. Maybe my worry and distress will calm down. Verse 9, if you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. Now, there's the key right there. You see, he's kind of skeptical of these guys, just like I'm quite skeptical of all these fortune tellers out there and the psychics and so forth. Now, if these guys really are in touch with the gods, if they really have power to interpret dreams, then they ought to have the power to reveal to me what my dream was. And it would be a supernatural ability in order for them to reveal the dream. You know, just the other night I had this dream. And you know those vehicles that are four-wheelers and they can turn on a dime and you control them like this? Well, I had this dream of somebody in a ditch and he never could get out of the ditch. It was wet and he just never could get out of the ditch. He kept trying over and over again. Now, I don't remember much else about the dream, and a lot of times we can't remember our own dreams. Maybe they're quite vague. So how in the world are these guys going to be able to reveal a dream that most people can't even remember themselves? Well, it was a great demand, but again, the point is, I'm not so sure about you guys. I don't know if you can really, if I can trust your interpretation if you can't reveal to me the dream. And so the experts admit, this is impossible. We can't do it. The Chaldeans, verse 10, answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. King, it can't be done. They criticized the king for making an impossible demand. Well, he didn't like that too much. Kings don't like being criticized. And that just enraged his anger all the more. And again, he was just showing, and God was working here. God was showing that the experts of this world are deficient. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and you see the contrast between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And I tell you, we Christians, we need to be careful what experts we're listening to. Are we listening to the experts of the world? Are we listening to the wisdom of God that is endowed upon His servants? The situation is being set for Daniel. Daniel knows the God who can reveal the dream and its interpretation. And so, note in verses 12 and 13, "For this reason the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them." Again, he says, listen, if you can't reveal the dream, I can't trust you. You're no good for me. And so he was ready to wipe out the whole lot of them. And by the way, we see illustrated here not only the danger of absolute power that can rest in a king or a dictator, but also the unreasonableness of anger. I mean, he got really angry here. And anger is an emotion, and the more emotional you are, the less reasonable you are going to be. And so, you know, it's one thing for him to execute the guys that just criticized him, but to go all out and just to wipe out everybody, all the wise men, including Daniel, whom he had met and had admired for his wisdom, and his three companions. Oh, yes, watch out. In a time of anger, be careful not to make decisions or rash actions you're later going to regret. And so we read about this dream and how it troubled the king, a crisis in the kingdom. But secondly, tonight we see the unforgettable Daniel here in chapter 2. The situation has been set for him to step onto the scene and to reveal and witness to the God who had the power to know the dream and reveal the true interpretation of it. And you know, God allows us to experience crisis situations that we can bear witness for Christ in crisis situations, just like Daniel. And there are certain character qualities that equipped Daniel to address this crisis and to help reveal this dream to the king. And I want to share with you five character qualities of Daniel that enabled him to be such a calming influence in this crisis situation. And the first is this. Notice his composure. You know, everybody was frazzled. The king was frazzled. All the wise men were frazzled because they felt like they were being placed in an impossible situation. And yet, Daniel, and especially Daniel, and I'm sure his three friends, they were not frazzled. They were not in a crisis, acting like they were in a crisis. Notice verse 14. "Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon." The word captain basically refers to his executioner. He was the executioner going out to execute these men, including Daniel and his three companions. And so, yet, as Daniel faced this situation, he faced it with counsel and wisdom, it says there in verse 14, because he knew of a God who would help him through this crisis. Notice also his courage. In verse 16, we read that Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Now, he had asked Arioch to, you know, let him go see the king. And he was given permission. And you remember how old Daniel is here? This was the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He had been there only maybe a couple of years, probably even hadn't finished his three-year training yet. He was a very young man going to stand before a king who's very angry and who could order his execution on a whim. And there he goes in before the king, standing nose to nose before this most powerful man in the kingdom. What courage we see here. Now, where did Daniel get that kind of courage? Well, first of all, from understanding the nature of his God. Nebuchadnezzar was on an earthly throne, but God is on the throne of the universe. This situation hasn't taken God by surprise. God is sovereign. God is in control. And he knew that he had been placed in Babylon for a moment such as this. And so he went before the king with courage. And also because he was a man of great faith. You know, God had seen him through that test in chapter 1. It was a favorable outcome, and he had faith that God would enable him once again to face this crisis successfully. You know, David stepped onto the battlefield at a time of crisis. You remember? There was big old Goliath challenging the armies of Israel, blaspheming the God of Israel. And that teenage boy went out to fight the giant. Now, where did he get that courage? Well, he had great faith in God. He believed that God was a whole lot bigger than that giant and that God would give him the victory. And so Daniel boldly asked for what he would not give the other wise men, and that is time. He needed time to pray. He needed time for God to reveal the dream and its interpretation, and that time was granted. And so when he left the king, we see another character trait of Daniel that will enable us to live successfully in a time of crisis, and that is communion in prayer. Communion in prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. It's all through the book of Daniel. And notice what Daniel did in verses 17 and 18. He called a prayer meeting together. He got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to join him in prayer. Where, of course, here it's their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That they may seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so Daniel and his companions may not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God, I don't believe that you have brought us to Babylon to have us killed. I believe you have brought us to Babylon to be a witness for you in this kingdom and before this king. And so they prayed that God would reveal the dream to them. And, you know, what a beautiful picture of those four young Hebrew men bowing and praying together. Again, that's what we need to do on Thursday, National Day of Prayer. You know, either by yourself or with some prayer partners, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for revival in the land. We need to pray that crisis situation, and there's so many different things going on in our country today that God's mercy would be upon us. And I ask you, what do you do in a time of crisis? Well, one of the first things you ought to do is what Daniel and his friends did, and that's pray. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." And so after that prayer meeting, they went to bed. trusting God to reveal the dream, and sure enough, God answered their prayer. Verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. I imagine that God gave him a vision of that same dream so he could reveal the dream. And then God gave him the interpretation of the dream, as we'll see Wednesday night. And so God answers prayer. And that ought to encourage us to pray like Daniel. But let me make one other point here. How effective prayer will be in a time of crisis depends on how faithful you have been in prayer before the crisis. Amen. And so I encourage you to be a man or woman of prayer. But another characteristic of Daniel we see here is his compassion. Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Now why was it the first thing he did after he learned the interpretation in the dream was to go to Arioch and to stop him from executing more of the wise men of Babylon? Why? Because he was a man of compassion. He knew they couldn't reveal this dream to the king. He knew that they were lost in a pagan religion. He knew what would happen to them as they would die and what would happen to their families. And he reflected the heart of God in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He had a heart of compassion, and we should as well. But notice also his humility in verses 27 and 28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these," and then he proceeds to reveal it. Now, what would have happened if Daniel had received the dream and its interpretation, and he walked into the king and said, "I'm the real expert around here. I'm going to tell you the dream, and I'm going to tell you the interpretation," and then just totally leave God out of the situation? Oh yes, he would have received honor and accolades and riches and so forth, but Daniel was not that kind of a man. He knew that his ability to know the dream and its interpretation was a gift from God. It was a work of God. He gave all the glory to God. He bore witness to God in this situation. And even so, as God enables us to have a gifted ability to serve God in various ways, let us never become proud and cocky about what we have accomplished, but to always give the glory to God. To Him be the glory. Remember, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and they had some problem with pride, and he said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "What do you have that you did not receive?" And the answer is nothing. But Arioch, what a contrast with Arioch. Verse 25. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." You see that? Oh, I found this guy. No, Daniel initiated the whole thing to Arioch, not the other way around. He had very little to do with this other than having enough sense to let him speak to the king and to spare his life. He wanted to take credit where credit really was not due. But unlike Arioch, Daniel was a man of character. And part of that character was humility. A man like Daniel, with the godly character of Daniel, can be a man of calm strength in a time of crisis. Can be a man who can witness for the Lord in a time of crisis. And may we seek to model our lives after Daniel and develop the kind of godly character that we see here. By the way, Ezekiel was a contemporary of Daniel, I think a little bit later, but basically they overlapped at least. And Ezekiel listed Daniel right in the middle of three of the greatest men of the Old Testament. He was that kind of a man and certainly worthy of emulation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Daniel had the kind of Christian a character that equipped him to be a man of calm faith and courage in a time of crisis. And Lord, we've gone through a time of crisis, and I'm concerned and that the crisis is still to come. Lord, help us to prepare ourselves for other crises that we may face in the days to come by having the kind of courage and the kind of faith and be the kind of prayer warriors that Daniel was. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.